Well, shall we turn in our pew Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 17? Plan is to have one more sermon after this in Jeremiah, and then we will get into something new, likely in the New Testament. But today it's Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. And we will read God's words together. Let's begin. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. That is the word of our God. And you surely can follow along in your sermon notes as well. Don't trust yourself or any other man. O congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't trust in yourself or in any other man to save you. Because man has neither the desire nor the ability to save you. Consider for a moment man's wisdom. Man tells you that nothing produced everything. Man tells you that non-life produced life. Man tells you that randomness produced precision. Man tells you that chaos produced order. Can you have faith in such ridiculous notions? Man can't even stop a tiny virus. How can he stop the course of history and guarantee you a good future? More, how can man bring or find a remedy for sin, the biggest problem that man has? Man doesn't even know what sin is. How can he fix sin? No wonder God told Jeremiah to warn the people not to trust in the arm of flesh. The Jews had their high walls, and they had their great wealth, and they had their friends, but none of those things could save them. And this is what you will hear about today. Our headings are two: a man is cursed if he trusts in his own strength, and then second, a man is blessed if he trusts in God's strength. And our goals are that knowing Christ bore the curse of sin for you, that you will then keep your trust in him, one, and then show that trust by living like a tree that's planted by fresh, nourishing waters. We begin with verse 5, the first heading: a man is cursed if he trusts in his own strength. A man is cursed if he trusts in his own strength. Any man is cursed who trusts in human wisdom, in human wealth, in human strength, in human knowledge, whether it is his own or someone else's. And by the way, when the Bible uses the term flesh there, it is used to show the temporary human nature. Let's talk about those things that God highlights in our text. Man tries to have salvation and success first by his wisdom. By his wisdom. But look at what the Word of God says. Psalm 118, verse 8. We'll read together. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's the worst choice to put your confidence in man, another way of saying it. Then Isaiah chapter 2, verse 22 says, together, sever yourselves from such a man whose breath is in his nostrils. For of what account is he, saying, man is nothing? He just has breath that has been put in him by Almighty God. So why would you put your trust in that man who will die? Second man tries to have salvation and success by trusting in his wealth. They think if they have the more money saved up, their life will be safer because they can have better security system, they can have better medicines, they can have better food, they can have better holidays. Their lives will be better and therefore they'll be okay. Well, look at Psalm 52, verse 7. It says, together, here is the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. See, wealth has an ability to make people want more of it. Wealth has an ability to become God. And in hoping and trusting that the wealth will save you only leads to disappointment. Third, man tried to have salvation and success in Israel before in 722 BC, and then in Judah in 586 BC by running to nations as Egypt and Assyria for help. Isaiah, who wrote long before the northern tribes fell, said in Isaiah chapter 31, verse 3, together, now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, both he who helps will fall, and he who is helped will fall down. They all will perish together. And you ask, how is that socialism working out for people? How did communism work out for people? There's a desire in people to have to be cared for from the cradle to the grave. Does that ever work out for anyone? Has it ever done so? The communists used to say it's better to stop tomorrow than to stop communism. Guess what? Tomorrow is here and communism is gone. Because it doesn't work that way. That's putting trust in man and in man's system. Jehoiakim and Zedekiah, two of the later kings of Judah, they did exactly the same thing. Jehoiakim in particular ran to Egypt for help, and then the Babylonians went and whipped the Egyptians and put them in their place, and then the help that they expected to get from man to save them from captivity disappeared. These nations were impotent to protect them. And in fact, they both would fall together, as Isaiah wrote. They would be cursed. But what is it that makes someone cursed? How do you describe someone as being cursed? Well, the one who's cursed is the one who had hearts. These are the ones who had hearts of unbelief. John 3:18 talks about this. If you don't believe in Christ, you are condemned already. You don't trust in Christ, your name and your person are bound for hell. What will happen to these cursed ones who put their trust in man and trust in their wealth and trust in their walls and trust in their friends to protect them? Well, the cursed ones will be unproductive. How unproductive? As a shrub in the desert. And that's in this life, and they'll be unproductive, of course, in the next life. And there's an example of this, the desert juniper. This is an example of one of the ugly, stunted tree in the desert. It's there, but it's unproductive. It's not growing. It's dried up. And what a contrast. In Psalm 1 and Psalm 23, Psalm 92 that we sang of, there you see the plant that's grown with Christ's blessings are not like the trees of the desert, but they're nourished with waters of life. Look at what one of Job's friends said in Job 8, verse 11 through 14. Together, can the papyrus grow up without a marsh? Can the reeds flourish without water? While it is yet green and not cut down, it withers before any other plant. So are the paths of those who forget God, and the hope of the hypocrite shall perish, whose confidence shall be cut off. You need to be nourished by God, or you will dry up. The papyrus, this is this long plant that they use for making paper, had to grow in a marsh. It needed water to survive. The Bible says, on the other hand, the cursed man will be as the blind man in a desert or like one in a salt pit. These are pictures of barrenness. You know, it's true, when you look at something salt, there's a glimmer there and it can look beautiful in the desert. But it is the cause of death. There's nothing that will grow where salt was sown. By the way, when Jerusalem was destroyed in AD 70, one of the things the Roman generals insisted on doing there was to take salt and spread it around the city, just to make sure nothing would grow there for a long, long time. And this is what Judah looked like when the Babylonians came. The place was barren. They left a few caretakers, but the land became barren because the people turned their backs on God. And God is saying, you trusted in your walls, you trusted in your wealth, you trusted in Egypt. Look at where your land is today. So what can we learn here? I have four lessons for you. First of all, man might not trust in high walls, but he trusts today. We don't have a lot of high walls around, but he trusts in technology. Just like before you had the high walls, now we might have security cameras, you might have different ways of trying to protect yourself. Or man will trust in his wealth. He hopes that his wealth will help him live forever. But man's technology and man's wealth are no better than broken reeds. Even the best technology, even the greatest wealth you have, can't deal with the biggest problem that you have. And that problem is sin. So it doesn't matter who your friends are, how powerful they are, how much money you've got, or the great security system you have. If you don't have a solution for sin, you're in trouble. And you need to look outside of man to get it. You see, faith in humanity is a clear denial of God. And you can talk how much you love God, and that's part of our problem, isn't it? We like to talk how much we love God. We're Christians. We are here in a church and in Canada as a Christian country. We could talk all we want about that. But not trusting him, you show yourself to be a liar. You show yourself to be one who trusts in man. You see, if God is your hope, if God is your stay, how could you run to money for help? One verse, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Together, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. See, that's where the problem is, isn't it? He departs from the Lord. So, learn to identify, are there other things that pull you away from God, that you put your trust in instead of God? And then second, remind yourself, most basic, salvation is of the Lord. You need the power of God to save you and to sustain you from the enemy. That is not flesh, that is not blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. What can flesh do against these enemies? Can you fight the devil with your money? Can you fight him with weapons? Can you see him with a security camera? No, and he is the greatest enemy you have. And that is why you need to have your trust in the Lord and receive your salvation from him. Human flesh is always dying. From the time you are born, you're one day closer to death. You and everyone you know will die. So how can man save when he can't even save himself? God is king. And that's why we say salvation is of the Lord. Number three, those who depart from God can find and expect to find dryness and salt pits in their lives. You know, you might look to someone and they appear to be doing okay. They seem to be healthy. They go to the gym 3 times a week. Their body's fine. They eat all the good foods. They have money. They have everything that you would normally expect to find. But inwardly, they're like that juniper bush in the desert. They're like grass trying to grow in salt. It's not going to work. Oh, they might look good for a little while. Try doing that and you'll see it in a minute. Try taking a nice bunch of grass and plant it in salt and see what happens. For a little while, it'll still look like grass. But it wouldn't take long before it is burned. So ultimately, number four, you have to deny yourself. And as the old song says, you need to put your hand in the hand of the one who still the roaring waters, the one who can wash away your soul and make it, or wash your soul and make it clean. Man has no hope. Trusting in him and trusting whether it's yourself or someone outside of you is futility. So what do we need to do? And consider this in the context of Jeremiah speaking to the Jews who were running to their wealth, their walls, and their neighbors, or their friends. He then says, a man is blessed if he puts his trust in the Lord's strength. The man is blessed who trusts in God, putting his strong hope in him. But this is more than just simply believing in God. This is trusting that Jesus Christ died for all sins. It is a confidence that heaven is real and it's a place where you will go when you die. Psalm 2, verse 12, we quote this verse a lot and it's well worth remembering. We say it together, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are those who put their trust in him. If you put your trust in him, you are blessed. If you don't kiss the Son, he will be angry and you will perish in the way. Psalm 146, verse 5, together. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Blessed and happy. Blessed is the way God sees you. Happy is the joy you have on the inside when you look towards God. But if you're going to trust God, it means you have to be near him. You can't be distant from him. You can't be distant from your Father and say, I really love my Father. You can't say, I love my Father, but I don't care about my mother. I will stay away from her. Rather, you'll be close to her. And who's your mother? God is your Father. The church is your mother to care for you. That's the real Mother's Day, isn't it? Being a part of the church and being nourished and cared for. The Jews had trusted Egypt and Assyria. So they treated God with contempt and ignored his promises. But not so with the true Christian. He talks to God. He's close to God. That's what God expects. And look at the blessing now. The one who trusts in God. What will happen to the one who is blessed? Well, first of all, the one who is blessed is well placed. He is a tree planted by waters. And by the way, waters there is a plural term, meaning a lot of it. Jeremiah likely alluded to Psalm 1, verse 3, and let's read it together. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. This is speaking of whom? Of the good man. Blessed is the man who's planted by rivers, plural, of water. He's not like the tree in the heat of the parched deserts and the salt pits. He was planted, and the word literally means transplanted, cultivated, raised for a particular purpose. And when do you transplant? Now, we live in Canada. We are never sure when you'll get to transplant anything, but assuming it's a normal country, you're able to take that plant and you raise it in a nursery, and then you put it in a place where it ought to go. You plant it in good soil, so it will have room for the roots to grow and to produce fruits and food for others. It's not growing wild. It's cultivated. It's transplanted. So the blessed one who trusts in Christ is well placed. Second, the blessed one is well nourished. He could spread his roots, as our scripture text says, to the waters. The rivers wash down the minerals from the mountains and bring them down like they do the Nile that it's been doing for thousands of years for the Egyptians. All the minerals all the way back in Ethiopia, the rain starts to fall and wash all those good nutrients and come and flood the land, and then the waters recede and the minerals stay and the plants grow. Well, the Lord's saying, I'm planting you next to mineral-rich waters. The roots can receive them. Look at Psalm 34, verse 8 that we just sang together. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. So that's where the nourishment comes from. This is the same thing that is pictured for us in John 15. The Lord Jesus said, if you are in him, you're drawing from him. You're taking the sap from him, and you will grow and you will produce fruits. Next. The one who is blessed is without anxiety or fear. That's the one who trusts in Christ. He knows God will protect him. He knows God will always give him the nutrients he needs to keep him alive, and that will go on forever. So it removes fear. He's in a good place. He's nourished by the Lord, and the fear of uncertainty is gone. There's no food worry for the one who's a Christian. The food you need will always be around. You know, there are concerns about that now, whether there'll be enough food in some places. Never for the food that the Christian needs. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, together, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. See that language there? Perfect peace. That's a lasting peace, not a peace that ends. And that's why when the Lord saves you, you don't need to worry anymore. He will take care of you forever. Four, the blessed, the one who trusts in Christ, will have evergreen leaves, which means he will never wither or die and fall. I know you don't like to think about fall at this time of the year. But you see what it's like. The beautiful trees of summer, the leaves start to get yellow and they fall and die. Not like the tree of the Lord. Psalm 92, verse 12 through 14 say together, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. What a difference. There's no fall in heaven. There are evergreen trees that will continue to always bear fruit, even in old age. By the way, green leaves speaks often in the scripture of luxury as well. We see some of this in the one who trusts in the Lord. It's a blessing of richness that we have. Proverbs 28, verse 25 says together, he who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, But he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. And then that beautiful passage in Revelation 22, verse 2. Together, in the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, I know many people look at this and say, oh, of course, this is describing heaven. The only problem with that is in heaven, there will never be a sick person. So there will be no need for healing in heaven. This is a picture of the nourishment that that tree of life on which Christ died will give to each one. And that gospel continues to spread. Judah could be revived with the gospel, Jeremiah was saying. And you don't need to worry. Don't trust in Egypt. Don't trust in your wealth and your walls. They can't save you. Look to Jesus Christ. Let the influence of the gospel penetrate you. Grab hold of it. That's the fruit they ought to pick. Instead of a tree from which God says, don't touch. And that's what every Christian has. The one who trusts in God. Fifth, the blessed will never worry, but live in freedom. Freedom. Troubles will come, but it won't destroy them because they're liberated on the inside. Psalm 32, verse 10 says, together, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. That's freedom. You're surrounded by God's mercy. Nahum 1, 7, together, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. You can go about your work without worry and to do so in freedom. And then sixth, the blessed will always be bearing fruit. You can't help but bear fruit. We touched on this verse already. But let's read John 15, verse 4 and 5 together. Abide in me and I in you, and the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. In fact, for that very purpose you were created. You were created for good works, the Bible says. Look at John. Chapter 15, verse 6, the Lord Jesus said this, together, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. So the Jews were being told, look, remain in Jesus, keep your trust in him, and he will nourish you and he will take care of you. He's not unable to bless you with all the things that you desire. But in his grace, he did not give them some of the wealth maybe that they wanted because they start trusting in the wealth instead of the God who gave them the wealth. And he said, look, you remain in me, you will have peace. You will have the things that really matter. And those minor things like good health and wealth, don't worry about them. I can take care of you as well. But you need to put your trust in me. So what can we learn here? I have five lessons outlined for us. First of all, God wants you to trust him. He wants you to be near him. Don't trust in any other God. They are all hopeless. You'll see this in the second service. God does not want you to trust in man. Nothing man has can save you. Nothing man can do will save you. Man may think he is God, but he isn't. Second, the God in whom you trust will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. And he will take you home when you need to go home. And he will keep you alive as long as he wants to keep you alive. Don't hope in yourself. Oh, we have responsibilities, but we don't live with the expectations that it's about us and our abilities. We cast our cares on Jesus. Luke 12:29 says, together, and do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Now, this is not saying don't work. This is not saying be lazy. This is saying don't worry about those things. Don't be obsessing about those things, for the Lord will take care of you. Keep your trust in him. Let your faith be strong, and he will take care of the rest. Third, God wants you to be prosperous. Interesting. Is the pastor losing his mind? Is he adopting some of this modern health and wealth gospel? No, God wants you to be prosperous, very prosperous. But he wants you to be prosperous most of all in your soul. That's what he desires. Most people like to quote that verse and say, God desires you to be rich and healthy, and they forget, as your soul prospers. They ignore that part because that was the focus of God. If your soul is prospering, wealth and health would be good for you. And God can do that. And God has promised that. You don't need to worry about that. So don't get hung up on lesser things. It's when you start thinking about the health and the wealth. If you're financially poor, if you are alone, if you're old, or if you are sickly, you can still be prosperous in the way that really counts. That your soul will be prospered, knowing your name is in heaven, and you have peace and freedom in Jesus Christ that Justin Trudeau can't take away, or the police that do his bidding. Why? You have Jesus. You have freedom. You're liberated in your soul. What a joy it is to be that way. For when you have God's peace, it will make up for the lacking things in this life. Remember, God doesn't always give you everything you want in this life. Even if your faith is the strongest and the greatest in the world. But he will give you the best things that you need to endure. He will give you hope and peace. Brothers and sisters, more rich people commit suicide than poor people. That should tell you something. Many healthy people commit suicide. That should tell you something. What they trusted in didn't save them. What those people need, and that's a problem. We talk about having COVID as an epidemic or an endemic disease now. The biggest disease we have is a lack of hope and a lack of peace. That's only what Jesus can do. That's only what Jesus can do. So you don't have to rush to be married and compromise. You already have peace in your heart. Oh, husband and wife may bring some degree of joy, but they can't compare to the joy you have in Jesus Christ. Being one, being married to the Lord Jesus. You don't have to steal. You don't have to cheat in your exams. You don't have to compromise. You have more. You have that peace and hope. If you understand that, brothers and sisters, your life will be so much different. Finally, when troubles come, you will be able to stand because you are planted in the courts of the Lord. That's the last thing in the text. He says, look, when trials come, when the heat comes, you'll be able to take it because you're being nourished by the waters of life. Final verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Together, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. Why? Because our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our peace comes from Him. He's not saying there won't be trouble, and that's, of course, where the Apostle Paul mocks the modern preacher on television that tells you everything should be going smooth. You should never get sick. You plead the blood of Christ on the plane and it'll never crash. No, you may die in a plane crash. You may have troubles as well. But he's saying those things can't destroy you because you have a peace of God in your heart. Let's conclude. Your Christ's. Remain in Him. Draw from Him. Enjoy Him. Produce fruits. Don't trust in yourself or any man or anything man makes to save you. Don't trust in your RRSPs or your great job or your high-ranking position. They can't save you either. Sin can't be fixed by man. So brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, take the time to read, understand, and act on God's Word. This is a sap for your soul, so your soul can prosper and produce good fruits. That's the fruit that really matters. Oh, some people might not appreciate you in this life, but that's what the Lord is looking for. That will remind you, when you look to God's Word, of the hope you have in Jesus. It will remind you Jesus lived and died for you. This will give you peace with God and peace in your heart. And if you don't take time in the Word of God, what do you think will happen? If you don't learn the ground of your hope, you will find yourself being pulled to salvation by man. Now, it's true, you might not say those exact words and say, yeah, I'm going to be pulled away. But that is what your action will be like if you don't remind yourself how much God loves you. But your money and your technology and your knowledge will fail. They can't do what your soul needs. And if you're not a Christian today, you can't do anything to secure your future. Stop trying. Your future isn't tied up in your stocks and your bonds and your RRSPs and your life insurance. All those things can disappear in a hurry. Only if you trust in Christ, that He lived and died for you, that you will have hope. And that hope is eternal. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your words. Thank you that we've been reminded today to keep our trust and our hope in Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, the one who sustains us and takes away all worry. If we have put our hope and trust in the things of this world to save us, show us, Lord, the frailty of mankind and what he has possessed and what he is able to do. For just as Egypt failed, so all things that man has will fail. Only Jesus has the words of life and hope. May we look to him, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.